today, if you begin talking about having peace of mind and tranquility, immediately people go to yoga, Zen Buddhism. I think that's the only way to go. I just want you to stare at the pattern until your mind goes blank. Okay, that's enough. Why, that didn't take long. You're on the verge of blank anyway, weren't you? But we want to talk tonight about money and tranquility of mind. And Galatians 5, listing the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and number three is peace, true peace, everlasting peace. It goes on, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Nine qualities, the fruit that is produced by living a life in connection with the vine, Jesus Christ. Let's talk a bit about why the world seeks for peace, can't find it, spends a lot of money trying to do that kind of research, and why we as believers can have it. Number one, this peace is a spiritual peace of mind. I was reading about guilt, and there seems to be a connection between the true guilt in our soul and the feelings of guilt. When you talk to psychiatrists today, all they talk about are guilt feelings. They're not willing to admit that you're really guilty for doing bad things, but you have guilt feelings, and so they're trying to treat guilt feelings. That's about like trying to treat a sore finger when you keep putting a needle through it. It's cause and effect. But peace is a spiritual peace of mind. One person was supposing that this whole thing of the electroshock therapy, where they shock the brain itself, causing kind of a short-circuiting thing where you forget things. They thought if you truly forgot what's causing the guilt, you wouldn't feel guilty anymore. What happened was that the people still felt guilty, but they didn't know why. They couldn't remember what they were guilty about, what they were guilty for. So how is it that we can have spiritual peace of mind? Well, first of all, there is the absence of distress about sin. Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. God graciously gave us his law because we, in and of ourselves, think we're not so bad compared to other people. We're pretty good. He says, you want to see how good you are? Look at my law. How many of these qualities have you violated? And we begin to bow our head and we say, almost all of them. So, by the law is the knowledge of sin. And with that comes the unsettling of the mind that says, what would happen if I were to die and stand before God in judgment? Romans 7, the apostle explains this in verse 7 and then verse 13. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. He says, that's good. I should have known sin, so that I would come pleading to God, please have mercy on me. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Verse 13, was then that which is good made death unto me? The law was good. Did now it turn against me? No, he says, it just reveals your condition, you see. God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin. You were a sinner, even if you didn't recognize it. So the law opens our eyes to that sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. How bad is your sin? Well, it's terrible. It is truly horrible. And as long as we think it's just a little thing, then we are excusing the sin. Letting God's word truly affect our thinking is when we recognize sin is exceeding sinful. I went through a little thought process about how bad a sin is. You know, if you sin against me, there's actually no punishment involved. If you sin against the speed limit sign and the policeman stops you, there is a cost. You see, you have to pay the fine. If you plot against the President of the United States, there's a big penalty. You could be in prison. See, I suppose if there is some universal conspiracy, global thing that NATO forces or whatever, secret agencies are involved, would come, you would disappear and you'd be someplace in a dark hole for a long time. But all sin is first of all against God. And the one who has all power in the universe, beyond the universe, is offended by your sin because the law expresses who he is. You are sinning against his very nature. And because of that, sin is against you. Only a foolishness dares to step out in sin thinking there will be no consequences. So when we have true salvation, we have an absence of distress of sin. We can say, at last, that has been settled. Secondly, the experience of the love of God. Not only is it the removal of the fear of consequences of sin, but the positive experience of the love of God. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, first part says, "The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God." There are so many things to concern yourself about in this world, but he said, if you'd like to have that peace of mind, think about, let your mind be directed into the love of God. And the Lord direct your hearts. Actually, in that passage, the Lord is the Holy Spirit. The other two persons are actually distinguished in that passage. The word direct, asking the Holy Spirit who lives within you, monitors your thoughts and heart feelings. Here his prayer is, may that Holy Spirit direct your hearts. And that word means to make straight or to guide. So you have a personal guide within you that will lead you into that path for the highest good. And that is for you to love God. In 1 John 4:18, for there is no fear in love. Do you see how the tranquility of mind comes when fear is replaced by faith? That fear gives way when you are overwhelmed by the love of God. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Are you a fearful person? I don't know. I tend to think, my experiences are that women are often more fearful than men. They are concerned about many things. Men may be concerned about rise and fall of business and, different things like this. Women about many, many different things. And whether that's true or not, let us recognize that there's an avenue out of that. And that is, be truly convinced of God's love to you and yours and to this world, bringing about the greatest good. And then it casts out fear. So this peace is a spiritual peace of mind. Let us grasp hold of it spiritually, understanding our salvation. Now the question is, who can receive this peace? And the answer is not lost men and not religious men, but believers in Christ only. Not lost men, Isaiah 57:21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked, those who have set their path on doing it their way. Isaiah 59:8, the way of peace they know not. There is no judgment or justice in their going. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. God's way is the path of peace. Man's own way, aside from God, is the way of fear, lacking peace. And then again, Romans 3:17, and the way of peace have they not known. But what do you say? I'm religious. Well, no, it's not offered to just religious people. A great passage in Isaiah 57, God is dealing with Jews who had changed over true worship of God in spirit and in truth, and were just performing rituals. He says to them, I will declare thy righteousness and thy works. He says, I'll tell you about your so-called righteousness, for they shall not profit thee. All your sacrifices, not helping, he says. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. He says, you're crying out, oh God, send your companies of angels, the host of heaven, to rescue me. And he says, as the words leave your lips, the wind carries that away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me, not in your religious rituals, say, he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. The difference is a heart relationship to God or empty ritual works. Don't turn your Christian life into empty works. I go to church, I sing the songs, I put money in the offering plate. Like Ethan, I volunteer to be an usher. He's not on the paid staff yet, so. Jerry just found out that he's not on the paid staff either. What's that? You know, it's one of those things where you can be just as ritualistic going to a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church if you're holding back your heart. So God says, put your trust in me. That's where the real reward comes. So who receives this peace? Believers in Christ only. Psalm 112, verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Why? His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You know, fixed means bolted into place. The average person's heart is just up and down. Yahoo, way good. Oh, no, terrible. Oh, it's better. No, it's terrible. And it's just up and down because it's based on what? On circumstances, things that are happening in life. But when we are fixed on the unchanging God, the immutable, the unmovable God, then that has to be a fixed heart, a heart fixed, trusting in the Lord. So how does this deal with money? Well, money problems then, among other problems, will not make you afraid. Now, it may mean God's calling you to find a different job and all the trouble and problems with that, but it shouldn't make you afraid. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because I have a good job. No. Because he trusteth in thee. So, Brother Jeb said this at the Sunday school just a little bit ago. He said that the thing is, God has told us that we are to work, but God has told us we're not to trust in our work for our livelihood. We work because he said, that's the way I have made the world. I want this to happen this way. I want you to be a productive person and labor. And in that mix of people, you then have the opportunity to be a testimony for God. If you were just lounging at home all day, it wouldn't be that. But the opportunity to be in contact with others, to show your Christian testimony. Your mind is not in turmoil because you know where the actual safety, where the actual support comes from. It comes from God. God will move heaven and earth to take care of you. You just work because he said that's what you're supposed to do. But you're not trusting it. Without him, no work would supply your needs. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally, fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There's the peace. Christ counseled those around him, Luke 12:15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, desiring more and more. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. You think the man that has a warehouse full of stuff has a better life? Probably not. Now he has to worry about all that stuff. Oh no, are they coming to get it? Am I going to be taxed on it? More stuff, more worries. And then this whole idea of the peace, it comes to the children of the King. This idea of being born again means that you are being born into the family of God. To be called, to be given the authority, the power to become the sons of God, means that you have actually been enfolded into the family of God, which at the first was only Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they have opened that door saying, I've made it possible for you, now living forever, to come and be a part of that family. What a privilege. You are now children of the King. Matthew 25:34. Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You have an inheritance. I've told you the story about the man that I have the feeling that he was involved in some sort of financial planning thing or something. But I just met him at a birthday party for one of my relatives. Can't remember, a great nephew or something. And he said, do you have a retirement plan? Do you have this? I said, I've got a retirement plan that's out of this world. And he went, oh, well, good. His thinking was pretty much all materialistic. I'm not saying he was a bad man. I'm just saying that was his concern. If I had some certificate that said I'd be taken care of, then he was okay. But, you know, for me, the true peace comes that God knows my needs, my family's needs, and I'm going to make my business to do his business. And then we find that he makes it his business to do my business. God takes care of us. 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible, never rusts, and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Reserved. It's put on deposit. Wow. You get into heaven, you get a safety box key, you know. You get to open that up and find out what has been reserved for you. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Right now, he's on his Father's throne up in heaven. Later, when he has the kingdom, he'll sit on his own throne, and he asks us, just as God asked him, his Son, to come sit with him at the throne, he will ask us to come sit with him in his throne. And I don't know what that means. I have no clear imaginative picture of what that will be like. But it's going to be pretty good. Whatever that is, it's going to be great. And then again in Revelation 21, verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. This is no little inheritance, my friend. We now have become a relative of the God who created it all, who owns it all. And somehow we get part of that, some sort of say in that. I don't know. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. My son. Let me close with this thought. What is the nature of this peace? The yoga trance, idea of entering into this mind, transcendental meditation, these things. This is all based on the idea that you try to empty your mind. You try to bounce all thoughts away till you are, your head is just empty. I worry about that because there's a passage where Christ is explaining about how demons come and find a life and a mind that's been swept and garnished and said, hey, somebody prepared the place for us. Let's move in. And he brings in himself and demons that are worse than himself. I don't think keeping my mind empty is a good invitation for peace. I think it's a good invitation for invasion. So the nature of this peace is not by forgetting what this world is like. People try to get peace by getting drunk with alcohol or high on drugs. This is temporary insanity. I want to stop thinking, they say. Not for us. This is peace that is given by God. John 14:27. Christ says to us, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, we can let it be troubled and afraid. We can let it go. We can go the natural way. He says, don't allow that. I am giving you peace, and it is my peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. So all we need is to be in contact with God by salvation, by consciously seeking from his word what he wants us to know, and then by living a life that's consistent with that. And he gives us that peace. Then, notice that this nature of this peace is that it is beyond human understanding. This is why the world has invented all these different means of trying to get peace. They don't get it. They don't understand it. It's beyond their ability to understand. He tells us this in Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The heart that feels, the mind that thinks, can be at peace once we have, in fact, the peace of God. It's not, the Gnostics had this idea that if you learn this secret knowledge, then you're okay. This isn't some secret knowledge. This is a very open knowledge. This is a published knowledge. Come to the Word of God, see what God has to say for you. And then He will keep. They used to call the guard stations a keep. This is God marshaling His angels around you to keep, to guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. So, I kind of walk through life, and people are saying, the dollar is going to fall apart. China is going to control the United States. Islam, there are so many Muslims being born that they're going to overwhelm the United States. And I go, well, that may be, hope not. Don't expect others to understand why your heart, why your mind is tranquil during economic upheaval. Oh, everything's falling apart. Well, if your everything is your economics, then maybe it has fallen apart. I've lost everything. I can't lose everything. My everything is beyond the reach of economic struggle, beyond the reach of dictators, beyond the reach of madmen. Don't expect others to understand this. I kind of look at you like, he must not know what's going on. And finally, it cannot be taken from you. When you get this, it can't be taken from you. Job 34, 29, when he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? Who's going to strong-arm God into giving you up? You see? When he hideth his face, then who can behold him? Whether it be done against a nation or against a man only. See, God's way is greater than the way of man. So let's determine this. We can hear the sad news that things are getting worse. According to the New Testament, we should be expecting this. This is not God out of control. This is God actually showing that He is in control and bringing the world down to be controlled by Antichrist. My friend Steve Kirichis would say, you know, looking at all this trouble and all these problems and all these people that are trying to stamp out Christianity, he says, wow, God is right on track. All this bad news is good news for us. The sooner the Antichrist comes, creates his terror in this world, the sooner the Lord Christ comes and conquers him and sets up a kingdom on this earth forever. Let's recognize God cannot be stopped. And therefore, if our mind is stayed on Him, we have peace. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, the world is after peace, but they don't really understand what it is or how to reach it. We find that it is given only in our connection with You and our understanding that You are truly in control and that You are good, that You are wise, that You are just. I ask that You might help us to come to the place where we can rest at night because You are in control. We're going to do what we can, but there's so little we can do. We can make efforts in our little ways, but we must leave to You all the big things. And you are doing that. And you are trustworthy. And you are good. So we ask that you might help us to rest at night knowing that you have taken over our duties of management. And that all we have to do is be obedient. With heads bowed, eyes closed, would you say, Pastor, I've been giving in to fear. I've been giving in to worry. I recognize that I have an eternal inheritance through Christ, and it's all going to work out very, very well. Maybe difficulty along the way, but that is just really temporary. Perhaps you would ask God to just open your heart, the eyes of your understanding, to see God in control on the throne, and then be at peace. If that's your prayer, I wonder if you'd slip your hand up. Say, pray for me. Yes, amen. 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 Thank you. Father, then give us that peace, the tranquility of mind that recognizes that there is one in control that cannot be overthrown, that you are not only all-powerful, but you are good. So we commit our lives, the lives of our families, the life of our church, we commit it unto thee. Take it if you will, for that would be your good pleasure, and it would be your will, and we can be content with that. Our hopes and dreams are not pinned to the things of this world, but to thee. So we give our hearts to thee, fixing our hearts upon thee, the unchanging God, and find that we are never then in distress, but our minds and hearts are at peace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.